Morning. As my husband will tell you, I am never without words. As I worked as a chaplain, though, I would start the conversation and then shut up or get very quiet because I was waiting for you to talk to me. So I am mic'd up very well here. That doesn't always happen in many places. But if you can't hear me, I will see this. You're telling me to put my preacher's voice back on, and that's okay, because a chaplain and a preacher are very different things, even though our talents intermingle. I had to laugh looking at the bulletin this morning because Todd has written in here, "Let us pray." Every time I see that phrase, I think, oh, okay, we want the salad prayer. I have never liked that once I heard it. I am more comfortable saying, will you join me in prayer? For me, theologically, I'm asking you to join with me to help know God. So will you join me with prayer this morning? We'll eat our lettuce later. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we can be people of all different places, stages, and expectations. But it's your word that will center us. It is your word that will guide us, and it is your word that will challenge us this day. Amen. Now, I could have chosen I always go to the lectionary text because that focuses me in. And I could have chose Psalms. It was great. It talked about being a rock and a fortress. Can always preach from that. Jeremiah text was about a young boy being called into service by God. And Jeremiah's going, are you kidding me? I'm just a boy. No, I'm not kidding you, Jeremiah. You're going to lead, and I'm going to anoint you. Well, that's full of stuff to unpack and preach about. And the Luke text this morning was about Jesus preaching in his hometown, and we all know how that worked. He next takes off to Galilee because his hometown doesn't care to hear his voice anymore. We can always find good things to preach from there. And one of my professors at McCormick would say, when you're stuck, you can always go to Romans. Anything can be preached out of Romans. The other text, though, this morning is from Corinthians. Oh, those Corinthians. I just don't know about those Corinthians. But this was a passage that changed me. And so I thought, God's speaking to me, and I need to flip it on the switch and change you through God's word. So here are the words of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, and believes all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. I thought when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. Not sure why we do that, but we do. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, and then we see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't like to be behind things. I'll walk around. I don't stay still for anybody, and my husband back there will tell you so. I won't point him out, but he looks like Santa Claus. I read on Facebook earlier this week, be careful when you're in a preacher's household because you might be the next sermon example. That might be your worst dread. But he comes with me anyway, and he drove me up this morning, which was great, because we got here before I normally roll out of bed, being retired as a hospital chaplain and minister. I don't set an alarm anymore. I don't wear a watch. The cats wake us up about 8:45 because they've had enough. They want to eat. Okay. This passage, what do you think of it? What comes to mind when you hear 1 Corinthians 13? It's not a rhetorical question. Weddings. Anything else? The love passage. Everybody calls it the love passage. You know, when Todd emailed and said, well, what are you going to call your sermon? You know, as sort of contemplating, what do I call it? Because whatever I call it, the sermon's not going to be that by the time Sunday rolls around. And as you see, I'm not a manuscript preacher, so I don't stick to the script. I let God speak to me. And most people are uncomfortable with that, but I'm most comfortable with that. I don't have to trip over words. I don't have to, you know, go, oh, I forgot that point, because I never put the point down. But this passage is really important to me. And had I used it for weddings? Yeah, I have, because others want it for weddings. But then they get a sermon that flips it on its ear. And you don't know me from Adam or Eve. But here this morning, I've been on your pastoral care team now for about a month. I have come up once. But I thought maybe you should know who I am. Because if you're calling and you're asking Kim in the middle of the night for support, and it's my turn, maybe a comfortable face would help. So we're going to take a journey on my journey with God. My journey's not yours, but it might give you a little insight as to where I'm coming from. 1 Corinthians 13. First time I heard that was in a women's circle. Do you know what a women's circle is? Okay, some of you do. Up north, it's not as much, or Midwest, as it is down south, where I lived my early years with my husband. And quite frankly, I never went to church as a kid. I didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. I heard the name. I didn't know why we didn't go to church. All the kids in school did. Probably not all of them, but it seemed like it. And I had not a clue of language, not a clue of anything. And I hate that my back's to you. But I grew up in a fairly, I'm not sure I'd call it stable, but, you know, get by kind of household. And there was rumors that at one time my mother's family may have attended a Methodist church, but they had a farm. And, you know, you just took care of the farm. You didn't go to church. They were not C&E people either. Anybody know what that is? You staff people do. Yeah. Christmas and Easter. The only time my mother's family ever went into a church was because someone was getting married or someone died. So that was all I equated church to. Except when I went to my other grandmother's apartment in Buffalo. She wanted desperately to be a nun. She's a troublemaker, though. I told her she'd be better off raising kids, so she raised 7 of them. And of course, as a good Catholic mother, she took them to church. I'm not sure what all took place there, but I do know that my dad went from being a Catholic altar boy to being an atheist. So certainly I wasn't going to church as a kid. So what the heck happened? Well, the guy that looks like Santa Claus can tell you that he had no choice but to go to church. They went to the Presbyterian Church in Lafayette Avenue, Buffalo, every Sunday. Well, it turns out as the history unpacked more, his family of origin on his father's side, they weren't even Presbyterian. Their great-grandfather was Methodist circuit rider. But his grandfather fell in love with a Presbyterian. Sorry about that, Walt. So, they changed denominations because she was a very strong woman. She was staying in the Presbyterian church. I remember first meeting my in-laws before we were married, and my mother-in-law was looking forward to me being her daughter-in-law because I might get her son, who was now finishing college, to go back to church. She had no idea what my background was. And of course, since I fell in love with that lifelong Presbyterian, I made him a promise, I made his pastor a promise that we would raise kids in the church. Well, for the first 5-10 years, we didn't really have kids, so I didn't have to worry about that promise. But then my 2 daughters came along. And when Monica was, I want to say 4 possibly, and Kimmy was 2.5, we started thinking, you know, we're down south, and I don't know how many of you know down south how strong church is. And we lived in Greenville, South Carolina. Bob Jones University, with the Bible thumpers on the street corners. They can intimidate you. I am still intimidated by anyone who can say, it is in Genesis, verse 9. And I'm going, whoa, that ain't me. I will use my concordance. I will pull out my Bible app on my phone if I've got someone asking for a particular passage, because I haven't memorized the Bible. So why the heck does God put me here? I'm not like the Bob Jones guys. The church down the road that was Presbyterian, it was within 5 miles of the house, good place to start. They have a mother's morning out program. I can get a break from raising kids. And little by little, the women of the Mother's Morning Out program started talking to me, convinced me to start going to Circle with them, another way to get away, and Ben can take care of the kids for a couple hours. And I could feel their love. I could feel their warmth, that they cared about me, they cared about my husband, they cared about my kids. Thank goodness my grandmother was Catholic, because there was no way that I was not getting out without a baptism in the Catholic Church, although my mother can't even tell you what church it was. I do remember going with my grandmother once to a wedding, because she went to every function in that church, and put a napkin on my head because I didn't have a hat. That was my background of church. Needless to say, I had to relearn what church was about, because I really didn't get that feeling of love back then. Who wants to, at 6 years of age, have a lace napkin on their head to hear God? Well, these women got me to the point of teaching at Circle, filling in as a substitute teacher, doing more and getting involved and becoming a Presbyterian woman in the church and in the presbytery. I'm not sure what my husband thought of all this, but they got me very active, and I could see God working in me through them. And in one of those Bible studies, I hit that passage. And it smacked me in the face. I didn't see a wedding passage. I didn't see a kumbaya moment. You know, when I was talking about trying to figure out a title for Todd, first thing that came to mind was, love, love, love. All we need is love. You know, Beatles, my generation. And then, right on the back side of it, and this is God speaking, it can't be anything else, I hear, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it? It's just a secondhand emotion. And I'm thinking, yeah. The Corinthians were not behaving. They were boastful about their love. Just as Jenny pointed out this morning with the clang, you know, they were listening to tongues, and tongues is a gift. I don't have it. Singing is a gift. My daughters tell me I don't have it. I can do notes periodically that go into strange places. One of them's a music major, so I do listen to her. You know, that tension. The Corinthians were so busy boasting about how God loved them, how they had it right. There was a Caroline Lewis that I read in Text Week yesterday that said, the minute you say and you know you've got it right, you're wrong. That was the moment when I recognized God working in my life, that God had always been working in my life and will continue to work in my life. And I'm supposed to make this short because we have lots to do. So if you want to hear part two of how you go from being a Presbyterian woman in a circle to being an ordained Presbyterian minister, come back at 11. Hallelujah. Amen.